Well, this is Ed Stetzer Live, and this is every Saturday we have conversations about pressing issues of our day and kind of go a little deeper on those conversations as well. I'm Ed Stetzer. I'm your host. I'm the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. And, well, for our purposes, I get to be your host every Saturday at this time. And, of course, I know that when I say Saturday, like a whole bunch of you are like, well, you're listening on the podcast, so you're listening on, I don't know, Thursday. And let me encourage you to go to edstetzerlive.com, click through, subscribe to this. You can go to Moody Radio app. You can subscribe to all the Moody Radio programs there as podcasts as well. Our desire is not just for you to be on terrestrial radio, though we're happy to be on over 200 outlets across the country, but also anywhere and anytime for you to engage the content here. I recently heard from a listener in Ukraine, and clearly we do not have a radio station in Ukraine, and I'm excited to say that for them, it's been a help and an encouragement as well. So that being said, our guest today is a friend of mine of a good number of years. I think probably first met maybe 20 plus years ago. His name is Tom DeVries. He's the president and CEO of CityGate Network, which we're going to explain even the meaning of that term. It's a newer name for their organization. Tom has been a church planter, multi-site lead pastor, and church multiplication movement leader. He was recently the president and CEO of the Global Leadership Network, international ministry, producing training and equipping through the Global Leadership Summit, and now is serving as president and CEO of the CityGate Network. Tom, thanks for joining us on the program. And if you wouldn't mind, just as we start, explain to why it's called CityGate Network.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. And it's great to be with you, Ed, be able to have this conversation, and certainly know how significant the issue of homelessness is in our country today. Actually, we see it increasing and growing. From this point in time last year to this year, there's been over a 12% increase in homelessness. And CityGate Network really is a network of gospel rescue missions that started way back in 1906 and had a vision for helping those who were struggling and dealing with issues of alcoholism at that time, or again, not being able to find a place to stay or to sleep. And Christians in the name of Jesus reached out to begin to help them. And in 2018, we moved from the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions to become CityGate Network. And you kind of think, and especially as you look back at in the Old Testament to the place of the city gate, and that was a place certainly where the government resided, and there were opportunities to bring judgment, but it was also a place of community. And that's really what we wanted to be able to illustrate, is to say at the city gate, all people are welcome, a place of inclusiveness and being able to find help and hope and healing. And we're a network of ministries that do that throughout the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
You know, Tom, whenever somebody changes their name, people have questions if they're changing their emphasis. I remember when Campus Crusade for Christ became CRU, I had to write this article, and I'm like, people, this is Campus Crusade for Christ. They're sharing the gospel. They're showing and sharing the love of Jesus. So when you changed the name from the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, even though you already said your Association of Gospel Rescue Missions in our interview, and your Twitter page lists welcoming desperate and destitute people into gospel-powered life transformation since 1906, where's the gospel fit into this? Because, again, the name shift, what does that mean?
Yeah, what it means, Ed, is really that we're being able to have those that are doing city mission ministry be able to find a place within our network and not necessarily just have to be a gospel rescue mission or even a homeless shelter. So now we're having new ministries that are joining us that are reaching out and doing and serving in the name of Jesus to people that are hungry. We've always been engaged in the area of addiction recovery and mental health. And there are ministries that are beginning to focus exclusively in those areas, human trafficking, even pregnancy counseling centers, and saying all of us then who provide that place of community that are those that are desperate and destitute. We look at it as those that are homeless, hungry, abused, and addicted. And all of the ministries that reach out to those folks are part of the CityGate Network and welcome to join the CityGate Network. And that really was the emphasis of that kind of vision to be who and what we are moving forward.
Okay, and I want to let people know, if you go to edstetzerlive.com, you can click right there on CityGate Network, and we're going to give you some more information about what are some resources there. But we're going to talk primarily today about homelessness. And Tom, we were just together just recently, and we hosted the National Association of Evangelicals board meeting at Biola University, where I serve as a dean. And you took our board members on a tour, kind of explaining and showing a bit of the ministries that are there. So, of course, the people listening weren't there. Where did you take people, and what did they see?
Yeah, we took them right down to the intersection in L.A. known as Skid Row. And if you go one block to the south and one block to the west, you'll find two of our missions right there on that corner. The first is the Union Gospel Mission, and it started back in the 1890s. In fact, by Lyman Stewart, who's the same person who started Biola University. And so there's a historical connection that way. And then L.A. Mission, which started a couple of decades later, but both of those missions have been reaching out in the area of downtown Los Angeles in the name of Jesus for more than a century. And really to give the NAE folks an opportunity to look and walk among the people that are there, and to talk about our ministries and how we serve the people in those areas. And most folks look and say, what are you, a storefront? Well, it's interesting to note that Union Gospel Mission is a 5-story building that houses over 500 people every night in shelters and beds, and providing food for them, but goes beyond that to be able to provide long-term recovery options. All of our missions have addiction recovery programs that really focus on discipleship and are founded on Scripture. And it's a key part of how we look at being able to overcome addiction. And LA Mission is much the same. And they then have gone on to provide women and children's shelters, long-term facilities, helping them to be able to find long-term housing as well. And we were able to kind of walk through that area, talk about the passion and compassion that we have through our missions in Skid Row, and the help that we're able to bring in the city of Los Angeles there.
Yeah, and Tom, I got to tell you, you know, I lived in Chicago. We lived in Chicago. We both lived in Chicago at the same time. Hung out when we were in Chicago. When we moved to California, the level of homelessness here is unlike anything I've seen in any other place that I've lived. And I grew up outside of New York City. You know, I've lived in different places. But again, so we see homelessness every day, and I think it can almost become, it's just so overwhelming. Like what do we do? What should we do? I'm going to get to the what can and what should we do, but talk to us a little about the scope and scale of homelessness today. I think everyone sort of sees that there's a crisis, but talk to us about what the scale of that is.
Yeah, often when we talk about homelessness, what we're talking really about is street-level homelessness, which are the tents that are there, or even some of the older motorhomes that are parked under overpasses, especially out in Southern California and up in San Francisco and Northern California as well. And you've begun to have these tent cities and these communities that are popping out and what they look like. But when the federal government talks about homelessness, they actually have 10 different types of homelessness. And five of those are under the Department of Education. Five of them are under HUD, or Housing and Urban Development. When you look at under the Department of Education, with the five cohorts they name, there are about 1.5 million children that are experiencing homelessness according to their definition. And then when you go to HUD, they look at adults, and we would say there's probably about 1.2 million adults that are experiencing homelessness right now as well. And if you were to we do what's called a point in time count every year, kind of at the end of January, and we would look and see that point in time count rose 12% from 2022 to 2023. And with that 12% increase, we're seeing more and more people on the streets. And a decade ago, we would look at it and say that it was a white 50-year-old male that was the most prevalent form of homeless person. What we see now is that it's women and children that are really leading the way, and our missions are going fast and furious to be able to expand programs and places to stay for women and children, because they are now the largest segment of those that are homeless and those that we're trying to help reach and serve in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I have so many questions. And Gideon, what happened? What went wrong? Why is this becoming worse and more? And so I want to kind of walk through some of those questions with you as well. I know our listeners are wondering this as well. Now, I want to mention to you, this is a pre-recorded program, so we're not able to take your calls today. But I hope that's the questions that you're probably wondering about right now. Like, what should I do? I don't want to make it worse. I don't want to just empower people to be stuck in their circumstance. How do I actually help? And again, what caused this and more? So stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Tom DeVries of the CityGate Network in just a moment. Okay, we're back at Stetzer Live. I'm here with Tom DeVries. He leads the CityGate Network, which I really want to commend to you. I've had the privilege of speaking to both their CEOs Forum and kind of their large staff gathering. I don't know if that's not the right word, but hundreds and hundreds of their leaders from different missions come together. And I want to just again commend their work to you and encourage you. You go to edstetzer.com and links are right there to go to CityGate Network. And we're going to tell you how you can actually zoom in your own local area as well, because the CityGate Network is kind of an association that works to help promote and provide excellence in some of these areas of ministry. But Tom, I mean, part of the challenge is, I live in California. We just had a big vote about something called Proposition 1, which relates to some of these issues. And everywhere around here, and I would say in Chicago where we were four, people are pointing fingers at one another. And I guess, I mean, you're leading the association that where Christians are engaging persons are experiencing homelessness. What happened? What's going wrong in our society that this is the case?
Yeah, and I think as we look at it, Ed, one of the things has been the shift from really the church being highly engaged in helping those that are desperate and destitute, those that are seeking a place of shelter, and the place of the government or the role of the government in actually addressing that concern. And if you kind of look at it historically, the first rescue mission was started in the U.S. Back in 1872. The New York City Mission, or what was known as Water Street Mission, or Macaulay Mission, started way back then. And then not too long after that, the Bowery Mission started. And from really the very beginning, we look and we see that Christians have looked at those who need help, and in the name of Jesus, reached out to try to help and serve and provide for them. On the government side, it really wasn't until really the 1987 and under President Reagan with the McKinney-Vento Act, where they began to reach out and say, hey, we have a homeless problem, and what do we begin to do? It was really the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, and the U.S. government began to say, we need to do something about that, and they began to do that. But what we began to see was homeless actually growing or increasing and not being solved as an issue at that point in time. But you can see different times when actions that the government took actually didn't help, but they hurt some of the efforts in caring for the people that were seeking help at those point in time. In the early 60s, under the Kennedy administration, what they did was they actually closed some of the mental health institutions. And again, it happened in the late 80s under President Reagan. And the reality of those two actions in closing mental health facilities that were sponsored by the government is that today, as far as the number of in-treatment beds that we have for people with mental illness, it's dropped by 90%. from what it was back in that period of time. And the result is that those people have been moved out onto the streets, often don't have a place to stay, many times abandoned by their families, or again, because of the mental health issues that they have or addictions that are a corollary to that. They need to be served, they need to be helped, they need to find a place of shelter. And what we've seen then as a result of the government response is actually an increase in homelessness as opposed to a decrease in homelessness.
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of the common thought about homelessness, it's not always true, but the common thought is that people are either experiencing mental illness or have addiction issues. And again, it's not always true, particularly we talked some about the rise, you talked earlier about the rise of homelessness among single moms and children, though that could be there as well. But that's kind of the first assumption that I think most people who are caring, compassionate people would say. And so because they say that, they often feel helpless and unable to make a difference, and maybe think this is the government's issue. Now, I don't know if the right word is in defense of the government. I mean, some of those mental health homes were pretty terrible, and so there was a bit of kind of the news came out about what happened, and we even have phrases for that, insane asylum. So people said there are terrible things going on here, and the end result is we just reduced so drastically some of the ability for people to get mental health help that were deeply mentally ill, that this now is often what we encounter in some, but not all, of the homeless population. So mental illness, addiction, but also loss of community. So then comes along places like the Gospel Rescue Mission, which is not just a, homeless shelter, but actually doing more than that as well. And I want to get to that a little bit later on. Remind everyone that the CityGate Network, you can go to edstetzerlive.com and click through. But there's a study guide, too, that we want to talk a little bit about as well. And why don't you explain? You just gave it to me when we were together last week. So, and again, we've got the link at edstetzerlive.com. People can get the guide as well. But talk to us about why you created the study guide and what are some of the myths there about homelessness?
Yeah, in partnership with David C. Cook, and we're really grateful for their work, and also with a brand new movie that's going to be coming out in September called No Address. There's been an interactive study guide that's been developed, and it has one of the things I really appreciate is it actually has a glossary on some of the key terms to understand what are the issues behind homelessness, and being able to provide definitions so people have a greater understanding of it. But the interactive guide is really to help churches be able to engage more, Christians be able to engage more, something that would be awesome for your small group to be able to go through as well. It's interactive in the sense that there's videos by Max Lucado and Amy Grant that you can watch as they talk about this issue in personal and very significant kinds of ways. And then the No Address movie, as it comes out, is really about stories of people whose circumstances have brought them into homelessness. You talked about it, Ed, that there's complex entry points into this issue. And sometimes it's around foster care, aging out of foster care. It can be around addiction, runaways, especially LGBTQ runaways, trafficking, abuse. And it's a story in the No Address movie about how these people build community in the face of challenges and really kind of work to overcome their homelessness with the help and caring of people from rescue missions and also from the Salvation Army, and certainly have great connection, affinity, and partnership with the Salvation Army and what we do at CityGate Network as well. And this study guide then is available. It's available on Amazon. It's on the best-selling list with regard to resources around poverty, and can help people understand what's there and also what can be done around that.
Good. The title of the book, tell the people the title of the book so they can find it as well.
The title of the book is called No Address. It's an interactive study guide. And what it does is then provide resources As far as articles, it provides a connection to videos that people can view. And then it has, again, kind of scripture that you can take deeper dives and have questions that you can ask in small groups or Sunday school classes or different kind of places like that around to say, so what am I supposed to do when I see a person that holds a cardboard sign and says, God bless, on the street corner? Is it best for me to roll down my window and give them $5? Or is there a better response than that? What if my Sunday school class wants to go out and make sandwiches and pass them out to the homeless folks that are out in the park? Is that the right response for the church? And being able to provide some better options and better opportunities to say, we can help people engage rather than just enabling those who are homeless to continue in that state.
Yeah, and let me remind you, too, that the study guide's out, so you can find that again. Go to edcentrallive.com. We got the link there. There's a documentary, and there's a movie, and the movie comes out later in the fall. But you can all get information, all that, at CityGate, and make sure you do. I think you'll find it helpful. And it does sort of lead to, I mean, one of the questions you've already asked, I think the people right now are saying, ask him this question now, is what do we do? Like, I mean, I regularly see somebody holding a sign saying need help, or, you know, some variant of that. What do you suggest we do? I mean, you're the expert. You lead the association. I'm going to listen to what you say. What should I do?
Is really to know what are the ministries in your community that have really been set up and have a commitment and a passion to serve those who need help, the destitute, and those that are in despair, those that are, again, have incredible challenges, life circumstances or personal situations that have brought them to this place. And there are, in every community, ministries, gospel-based ministries, that are really there to serve these people. And so being aware of what those ministries are and how you can help be able to get people connected to them is a wonderful thing. If you want to find out what some of the CityGate Network ministries are in your community, you can go to the CityGate Network website by connecting to Ed's website. And we have a map of the whole country. You can put in your zip code or in your city, and it'll bring up some of the ministries in your city that you can connect with. And being able to let people know of those services, rather, again, than enabling, but saying, how can we go down and volunteer or participate? And missions would love your engagement, whether it be a small group or a Sunday school class or even you individually. Could even be a group from your place of work. A couple weeks ago, our team here at CityGate Network, we went up to the Denver Rescue Mission and volunteered on an afternoon and being able to serve lunch and get a tour of the facility and see what goes on there. And every rescue mission, every ministry would love to share with you what they're doing and how they're doing it, to answer your questions personally and one-on-one as well. One of the things I do as well, Ed, and some of our team does, is that we actually have bags that we pass out to some of those folks that are on those street corners. And rather than give them a $5 bill, we'll give them a bottle of water or a refillable water bottle. We'll give them some protein bars and some different things. Often it's a pair of socks that you can put in that bag and hand to people around your community. And that's far better than just giving them a sandwich or a $5 bill.
Okay, so then to do that, would they have that with them? Because I might encounter this on the side of the highway. I'm not, maybe at the, you know, when you're entering onto the highway, kind of the entrance there. So what do I give and how do I get what I should give?
Yeah, exactly. And so you can find that out too on our CityGate website or often.
Yeah, and let's say it's fine to say the CityGateNetwork.org. Yep. It's fine to say the website here.
Yep.
We just sometimes direct them because it's easier, but it's CityGateNetwork.org. So if they go there, you'll get more information. And that kind of gives you what you suggest we should give to that person?
Yeah, exactly. That what we want to see happen is to be able to have people engage. And so sometimes that's, you know, as I shared, having a bag that you can pass out to people. So in that, there might be a bottle of water or a refillable water bottle is even better, so that they can have multi-use for that. Giving them a protein bar or some food that, again, is not perishable in some way. Another thing that's really important, especially during the wintertime, is being able to have a pair of socks. And at CityGate Network, throughout the years, we've done sock drives where we've collected thousands of socks to be able to give to people who are struggling in urban areas or communities and are homeless. Because often on the streets, that's one of the greatest needs that that they have. We also are able to provide jackets or blankets or these kinds of things to be able to help in those situations.
Interesting. Okay. And so, again, you go to citynetwork.org or at centrallive.com and you click through to some of those things, because I want us to be able to offer some practical solutions. And as a matter of fact, the study guide specifically has, and we'll get to this when we come back in just a minute, the study guide, page 73, has do's and don'ts for engaging with those who are experiencing homelessness. And I just remember, because my, you know, I remember it not positively, having to sort of talk to my daughters who, you know, we'd be in Nashville and they would say, well, can we do this? And I would say, no, that's not the best thing. And for them, it was like, well, but this is what we should do right now. And I said, well, I'm not sure that's going to help. And I had to explain that to them. And I think now they'd understand it. But we want to think about how best to engage people who are, you know, experiencing homelessness. And we're going to continue our conversation with Tom DeVries at the CityGate Network about how to do that in just a moment. Stay with us. Hey, we're back. It's Stetzer Live, continuing our conversation with Tom DeVries. Tom leads CityGate Network. And CityGate Network is kind of a, it's not kind of, it's an association of gospel rescue missions. It actually goes back. I love the New York City references that you were making, Tom, because the church I serve as an interim pastor there at Calvary, which you have some connection to, but they were helping with some of those rescue missions and still partner with them today. And I think it's an important thing. So I've had the privilege of both sharing with the national meetings at the CityGate Network, but also not that long ago, I was in Peoria, Illinois, working with one of their affiliate members of the CityGate Network and just encouraging what folks are doing there. And I was so encouraged to see just, I mean, I guess there were maybe 1,000 plus people from different churches and just saying they wanted to care for the homeless in their community. And the ministry there, like Tom mentioned earlier, has multifaceted things. Sometimes what we see, and Tom, this is because we're not in this field like you are, is we see what you got to do is give people a bed. And let me just say, we're for that. Give them a bed, give them a meal, give them a roof, a warm place to sleep in the cold. But there's so much more, and I want to get to so much more. But before we do, I want to kind of come back to the do's and don'ts. Again, the study guide, it's on page 73 of the study guide, talks about some of the do's and don'ts of engaging people experiencing homelessness. So I mentioned that I still remember unpleasantly a conversation with my daughter, not because anything she did wrong, but because I felt like we had lunch, and outside of the restaurant, there was a homeless person, and she didn't finish her lunch. She'd put it in a little box, you know, take-home box, doggy bag, and she said, I'm going to give this to him. She started walking towards the person. And I was far enough away that it wasn't like an interaction. I said, Jacqueline, that's probably not the best thing to do. Partly because, you know, her response was, well, but he's hungry. And so I said, well, but giving him your leftovers is probably not the best response to do. And at the time, you know, she didn't know how to respond. And we kind of said, well, let's talk about this. And we had a whole conversation that is going to be similar, I think, to the conversation that you and I are about to have. So what are some of the do's and don'ts of engaging those experiencing homelessness?
Yeah, and I love that story, Ed, because I think that's how we often try to say, what is it that we really need to do in response? So we have a heart that goes out. We certainly want to care in some way, and that seems like a reasonable way to do it. And often you look and you say that, you know, is what a person who's experiencing homelessness need, is it really half a sandwich? Or are there other things that are going on there? And is there a better solution that could be a long-term solution to what they're dealing with. I think of a conversation I have at with a woman by the name of Tatiana just a few weeks back. And as she talked about how her life had spun out of control, how she ended up in one of our shelters after being homeless for a significant period of time, she went back and she went through just how and described severed relationship after severed relationship, ultimately, that it started with her family and then friends, her employers, her school, her government. And when you break these individual relationships, what will happen is inevitably a person will become homeless, because that community connection piece is so important. And without those relationships, many people end up on the street, because what you look for is not just food, clothing, and shelter, but it really is unconditional love and being able to have a sense of belonging and that you believe in people. I think one of the greatest messages that our shelters bring, or our rescue missions bring, to people is to say you're not alone. You're not alone in the struggles that you're going through. And we're here to help you and journey with you. But beyond that, too, you're also loved. And we want to love you, and we want to let you know that Jesus loves you, too. And so part of it is understanding what the complexity of the situation is. And a sandwich is a nice gesture, but it's not the answer to a long-term solution. And so then people look and they say, well, maybe if we just started our own nonprofit, right? That would be a great answer to be able to kind of provide a new ministry. And the reality is, and as you go to citygatenetwork.org, you'll see over 300 missions and ministries that are serving in this area. And they're doing it highly effectively. And what it is that we don't necessarily need just another nonprofit because a small group sees a need. It really is trying to get connected to places where there already is service, where there already is help, and that it's helping in a significant way, and really in a fairly important way, I think, of what's going on. And part of that is, as you look at our missions and our shelters and what they're doing, it's often because they're partnering with organizations that can come alongside and actually provide deep help and hope for what's going on. I look at our Baltimore mission, Helping Up mission in Baltimore, that has built a brand new facility in partnership with Johns Hopkins University. And they have one floor that is just for pregnant moms who've been struggling with homelessness. Another one is for moms and young kids. And then you go down the street and then there's a men's shelter there, and there's a health clinic. And you begin to see that it goes even beyond what our missions are able to do on their own, but they're doing it in partnership together. If you go out to Union Gospel Mission in Los Angeles, you'll see that they've partnered with University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, on the healthcare front, and USC on the dental care front, and recognizing that these needs are complex, and yet we're able to provide help to be able to make that happen. So a sandwich is good. Probably don't want to do that in an enabling way, but looking and saying, how can you engage? What is it that you can do in going down maybe in volunteering or supporting the ministries that they're doing as they've been able to reach out and provide hope to many of the people that are living on the streets?
Okay. And that's kind of the answer that I gave. And I'm not sure a seven-year-old daughter necessarily got that. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, let's just ask the question. I mean, these are gospel rescue missions, right? These are Jesus at the forefront. What would Jesus do when you see a homeless person standing there asking for something? I want to do what Jesus would do. People are saying that right now. And you know, I recognize the complexity of the situation. So again, back to the do's and don'ts. So you would suggest, and again, the book, No Address, if you're going to go to itsnaturallife.com, you can find it there, would suggest having something available to give But that takes a little more than just saying, let me slip a $5 bill across the window. And so again, easy compassion is probably not the answer to the homeless crisis, though compassion can be, but compassion has to be engaged, well, with wisdom and discernment. So give us a little more then. So partner with your local, we might call it term homeless shelter, but most of them don't use that language much anymore. But partner with these ministries that are here, 317 ministries. And I want to also point out to you, that to our listeners, that you're an association of these ministries. So when you say maybe don't rush to start a nonprofit, you actually, it would be great if you had five more nonprofits in your organization. So it's not that you're not like wanting for people, but if people want to create a robust engagement like this, you would be for that. But it's not, you have to engage a little more than that. And with the 300 plus rescue missions you have now, they do. So then if I want to walk the way of Jesus and I want to walk in that compassion, I want to actually give you a little time to sort of kind of unpack that with us. We're going to take a little pause, but when we continue our conversation, I want to be able to say to people, and I want right now, if you're listening, you could text somebody and say, hey, this is something you've talked about, you care about. Right now at Ed Central Live, they got Tom DeVries talking about this. And again, remember too, you can listen later at edcentrallive.com, Moody Radio, Moody Radio app, and more, because I want us to leave with some practical, Jesus-honoring, wise ways to engage people experiencing homelessness. We're going to continue our conversation with Tom DeVries in just a moment. Okay, we're back. Tom DeVries, CityGate Network. Just jumping right back into where we were a minute ago. So, Tom, it seems it's going to take a little more preparation and a little more engagement. And it's not just me making myself feel better, which is somewhat what I explained to my daughter. It's not just me making myself feel better by taking the immediate, easy action, but the way of Jesus, the compassion that's there, is a little bit more intentionality. It is, and really, maybe not just that street corner interaction. Is that a fair description?
Absolutely, because you know, you look at it, Ed, where's the longing? The longing is for belonging. That really is about relationship. And it isn't just doing an action where I give somebody something and then I walk away. But it really is, how can I begin to make connection, get them connected to where they can get help, and maybe even build a relationship in some way to be able to make that happen. Because that's often what we're looking for. And I think that's what Jesus knew. I mean, he was all about relationships. And it wasn't just coming and giving someone something and walking away. It was really saying, how can there be long-term connection in order to bring hope and healing into this person's life ultimately?
Love it. And the book that we've been talking about is called No Address. There's a documentary coming out in June, and then there's a feature film. The feature film has some names in it, like Ashanti, William Baldwin, Beverly D'Angelo, and others, people that some of our listeners will actually know. And I know you're doing some things, which I think is just really great, Tom, the way of connecting people with these City Gospel Rescue missions. You tell us, what's going on with the No Address documentary and film? The book's already out, and you can find it at edcentrallive.com. We've also linked to the documentary resources and the film resources, but you tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, would love to do that. And maybe just to kind of put just an exclamation mark on what you just said about that connection piece. I go back to the story of the Good Samaritan, Ed, and we read about that in Luke 10. And it wasn't the Samaritan that actually provided the long-term help and healing for this man that was beaten. What he did was he lifted him up, brought him to a place, the inn, with the innkeeper, who was capable of bringing help and into this individual's life, and he helped pay for it, and he said, I'll come back and do whatever needs to be done in the future to make sure that there's long-term assistance that can be given. And oftentimes when we look at loving our neighbor and the illustration that Jesus gave, it's getting them connected to the services that they need. And when we kind of talk about that and we say that they're, you know, there's 78% of the folks that are homeless that have reported mental illness issues, and 75% that say they have substance abuse issues. We may not in our own be able to resolve those situations, but we know we can find places where, again, there's a gospel-centered ministry that wants to help them in that way. And the No Address movie is really set up to kind of share those kinds of stories. And we're excited to be able to partner in this. And this would be a great way to kind of start a conversation around helping people that may need assistance in some way. And so as the movie rolls out, to be able to go and check it out, or even now to be able to pick up this interactive study guide and begin to ask questions around that. Because what it shows is stories of people who, again, have brought, the circumstances have brought them into a place of homelessness, sometimes beyond their control. Oftentimes we see that in those that age out of the foster care system, for example. We see it with those that deal with issues of addiction or mental illness in some ways. And the community that they come together to create that's able to help each other in the midst of that situation. And what I love is they also find help through the Salvation Army and through a local rescue mission in knowing that there are systems and structures that are set up to bring help and hope in those situations as well.
Yeah, fascinating. And we're thankful for the Salvation Army. They, you know, we were, all of us were just together. I mentioned earlier in the show that we were at the National Association of Evangelicals board meeting. And I just recently engaged, I was super engaged, super involved, I'm sorry, super impressed with our local Salvation Army. We Don and I decided to donate some things, just very well done. And again, seeing the place of faith and the Christian commitment that's there. So with this movie coming out, you mentioned that there's going to be, the film comes out in the fall, but how are the missions themselves going to engage the film? Because I'm guessing we can watch the film in all kinds of ways, but I think you've got some creative ways to do that, engaging the community as well.
Yeah, and our missions are looking at being able to kind of have sneak peeks or previews where they're able to bring in those that help support their mission, those that volunteer at their mission. But it's not just mission focused, because we really want to be able to reach out to community and civic leaders and recognize a couple of things. One is that this issue or situation, the people that are struggling in this way, is it's something that's bigger than all of us. And it's going to take all of us coming together to bring help and resolution to. And so many of our missions are connected to the mayor of their community or to city government in some way, to the county and federal government, and being able to provide kind of an environment where we can look and elevate what's happening and say, this isn't right in our community. How can we help resolve this situation in a way that brings the healing that we would all want, that creates a community that is able to have a place where everyone flourishes ultimately.
And so I think as this is a great opportunity, I think, for the church to step in, because, you know, the government, and I let me just say, I think the government has a role. The government, I mean, we can provide beds for people to sleep in heated places, in crises and more. But one of the things I'm so thankful, and one of the reasons I love being a part in some ways, small ways, of what you're doing with the CityGate Network, is you're doing so much more than that. And kind of, we just got a few minutes left, a couple minutes left. What, and I know they're called gospel missions. We've talked some about the place of sharing the gospel in the midst of that. But tell us about that and other things that you do to promote a more holistic approach to people experiencing homelessness.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ed, because I think for our folks, we do want to look and say, what are the needs that are there? And so often it could be for those that that are migrants that are looking for a place to stay. We need to get them connected with legal services in some way in order to help them. For those that are dealing with physical sickness, we get them connected on the medical front for help, or with on the dental front in some way. We do it in providing places to stay if they're pregnant, or if they're, again, a single mom looking for help in again, and has no shelter, and they look to our missions, and we welcome them with open arms and open doors for whatever their needs maybe. And so we take people where they are and look and say, maybe sometimes it's that they need to enter a 12-month recovery program where they need to break free from their addictions. And many stories of men and women that have been part of these recovery programs that are able to find freedom from their addiction and to move into a life of flourishing and thriving as a result of that. Some of our missions provide safe spaces around trafficking or domestic violence or abuse. And so in all of the places of pain and hurt, we're able to open doors and welcome people in those situations and say, we're here for you. We're here to help and to bring solution to some of the struggles that you're going through.
Tom, in the book, I know there's a prayer from Jolene Hodder. Would you share it with us?
Yeah, and in fact, I'd like to just kind of pray this over the folks that might be listening as they look at how they could be engaged in and a part of bringing help. And this is a prayer for wisdom and discernment. Dear Heavenly Father, open my eyes and help me to see those in need in my community. Jesus, help me see your face in the eyes of every homeless person I meet. I pray for all women and men, boys and girls who do not have homes, for those sleeping in doorways and parks, in hostels and night shelters, for families who were evicted because they couldn't pay their rent, for those who have no relatives or friends who can take them in, for those who are afraid and without hope. Give me a heart of compassion and show me what I can do to serve those who have no place they call home. Use me, Lord, as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good. And Tom, I'm so thankful that you're there. I've known you. You've led a denomination. You've led the Global Leadership Network. And now leading this association. And I'm just thankful for you and our friendship and the good work that the CityGate Network is doing as well. So thanks for taking time to be on the program today. Let me also thank our team, Behind the Scenes team at Moody Radio. We've got Karen Hendren, our producer. Bob Moreau is our engineer. And as always, I want to encourage you to follow up to. Go to edcentrallive.com, see the resources that are there. We're also going to tune in next week, encourage you to. We're going to talk to Jordan Rayner about the sacredness of secular work. And remember that Ed Stetzer Live is a production of Moody Radio, which is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. And as always, go to edsearchlive.com and you can listen to this and other programs and subscribe to the podcast as well. Thanks for listening.